This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, let's get this all straightened out here. Who better to help us with that than DNVR Rocky Spencer Smith? He is our Rockies insider here. He's going to be joining us each and every week as we work through the Rocky season, the Dirty 30. And I was wrong. The Rockies did win one game since we first talked to Spencer. So, Spencer, you're in the clear, man. You are not a whole show curse. They did get one victory. So if they were winless, then yeah, maybe you would have to have that. We'd have to buy you a lucky rabbit's foot or something. But we're okay. We're in the clear. The Rockies have at least one win since we talked to you last.
Yeah, just one measly game. I'll tell you, the last week since we talked, it feels real 2025-ish around this team. Just for the microcosm of how this week happened, it felt like that.
Yeah, I mean, and the Braves series was kind of fascinating. I mean, honestly, even the Red series, you win that Wednesday game 13-2. I think I even on that night I was like, is this team legit? Maybe so. And then they lost the next four games. So here we are. But let's get this straight first. So no game tonight, Spencer. Give us the updates on how we're going to play musical chairs with these next couple of games.
Yeah, so luckily enough for the MLB, the Mets also have an off day this Thursday. And so they moved yesterday's game up to a 3:40 local time start. Don't know if I've ever seen that, especially on a non-holiday. Got that game in. We'll have no game tonight. And then tomorrow night, the game will start at 7:20 Mountain Time. So a little bit later, I think, you know, hopefully give a chance to the amazing grounds crew over at Coors Field to clear the field out off the snow, the 4 to 8 inches I've been hearing that we're going to get here around the metro area. And then Thursday, both teams will play one game at 1:10 p.m. And then the Rockies will fly to Philadelphia that night.
Okay, well, thank you for straightening that out for us. Talk to us a little bit about, I guess let's go back, Spencer, that Atlanta series. I mean, those were, other than the game two of that, which was on Saturday, where they just get smoked, and it was kind of a rough go for Chase Dolander, competitive series the rest of the way. I thought maybe the Rockies might steal one of these things.
Yeah, they really should have. That first game on Friday night, you have a 6-0 lead in the second inning, and you know, you want to not put that on your offense, but at the same time, when you get 6 runs in the first two innings, you got to continue to pile on, especially playing games at Coors Field. And it mostly falls on the pitching. And that was when they blew that lead, that was the second straight home game, basically bookending the road trip that they had, that they gave up a 5+ run lead in the sixth inning or later at Coors Field and lost the game. So that series would have looked a lot different if you just win on Friday. I mean, it's very clear that the Braves are head and shoulders above the Rockies. And that's what, if you look at it in, you know, with a broader lens, it doesn't feel as bad to get swept by a team that's leading the major leagues in record and the best team in the National League right now. So it doesn't hurt that bad. It wasn't like you did that against the Rangers or the Diamondbacks or whoever, you know, a middling team that will be playing here coming up. But losing to the Braves 3 straight and then losing and piggybacking that and losing to the Mets last night, now you're on a 5-game losing streak, and it feels like the wheels are kind of coming off, especially when you blow 5-run leads at home.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It just feels like, man, if they can just get a win here quickly, try to bring us back in, because things can unravel. I mean, having games every single day, it can get away from you pretty quickly. But game last night, I mean, it kind of a, you know, for one pitcher, a tale of two pitchers. Suganu was fantastic until he wasn't.
Yeah, you go 5 innings of not perfect. He had a walk, but no hit baseball, and you feel really good about that. But once again, you know, your offense at Coors Field has to score more than 2 runs in a game. And when your pitcher's got a no-no through 5 innings, you got to give him 1 or 2 leading up to that, especially with what the Mets threw out there yesterday. They started Brazoban, who is a bullpen pitcher, so they went with a little bit of an opener. But the kid that came in, the lefty, had like a 6.6 ERA heading into that game, was getting shelled all season long. He's a Colorado kid, so I don't know if that gave him a leg up on pitching in Colorado at all. But he went to Regis Jesuit High School, and he comes in and strikes out 6 of the first 9 hitters he sees. And it's like, guys, come on. We have to have more offense than, you know, scoring a measly what ended up being 2 runs late. And one of the 2 runs was because the center fielder for the Mets fell down on a ball he probably should have caught.
Yeah, that was it was tough because it was kind of like we were talking about this Avalanche Wild Series where, you know, if you look at the score and you see Scott Wedgwood gave up 6 goals, you're thinking, wow, he was terrible. But it wasn't really that. It wasn't that way. And you look at the stats from last night's game and you go, well, he was pretty good for a moment, but did give up those runs, did ultimately give up some hits. But there were a lot of other things that came into play in last night's game.
Yeah, and Jaden Hill coming in relief and then giving up a 2-out single. You know, it was 2-0 at that point, and you feel like that 2-run cushion is where you start to feel more comfortable as a trailing team, especially at Coors Field. It sometimes can be 3 or 4, but if you're trailing by 2 runs, it's, hey, walk, home run, boom, you're back in it and within 2 batters. And it was 2-0. Jaden Hill comes in relief of Shugano and allows a 2-out single up the middle that gave them the 4-0 lead. And at that point, with the way the bats had been going, because we can give Shugano his credit for no-hitting the Mets through 5 innings, but the Mets pitching staff also only gave up 1 hit up until, I think, the 7th inning. So the offense was just looking not very good and not giving them a chance to win. And then you score a couple late and you kind of make it interesting very late, and then you just can't get the big hit to take you over the top and win that game. So now it's kind of go time for them, because you have to at least win one of these next 2 games against the Mets. A day off today, reset, get the bullpen back in order, and then win one of the next 2 games and hopefully win this series and win the next 2 against the Mets before you head out on the road against 2 good teams.
Spencer Smith joining us, Rockies insider for DNVR Rockies. So what are you kind of cooking on? You know, since we spoke last, I mean, it was we were kind of at a little bit of a high chatting with you about what this team was up to. I think they just want they swept the Mets last time around, you know, had an interesting performance against the Dodgers before the Padres were there. What are you kind of cooking on right now as we're dipping down a little bit, seeing a 5-game losing or 6-game or 5-game losing streak, I should say?
I think that what I've been thinking about the last couple of days is the bullpen, even though they constantly show the numbers of how they're top 10 in ERA and the Rockies pitchers have the highest wins above replacement of any of the pitching staffs in the entire major league, which is a crazy stat to even think that we'd be close to the top. I think this bullpen right now is a little bit of fool's gold and hasn't been near as actually good as some of the stats bear out, because you've had, as we talked about last week, guys going 4, 5, 6 innings out of the bullpen, and that boosts the numbers in terms of innings pitched. So now they're getting in some spots where it's tight, you're ahead, and they've given up a couple of big leads, or yesterday they come in and allow more runs to score and don't keep it at a 2-run deficit. So I think I'm a little worried about the guys coming out of the bullpen and the fact that all of your best pitchers from the year and even the year prior, if you look at a guy like Jimmy Herget, was unbelievable last year, started out this year pretty good, and then went on paternity leave for a little bit, came back, and dad's strength has not helped him out. I think he's given up runs in 2 of his 3 outings since coming back from that leave. And obviously Antonio Senzatella has been unbelievable all year. He gave up some runs on Sunday against the Braves when it was kind of a close game. So the bullpen, really, there's not a guy down there right now that I could tell you is going to give us a scoreless inning, especially in a game that matters.
Do you get this sense that things are about to, I mean, everything you're bringing up, I'm hearing you, man. Are you getting the sense that things are about to really unravel for the Rocks?
I do not, and I will say I am a little bit of a homer, always got the purple glasses on, as I like to say, but I believe that their schedule has just been still so brutal, and the Mets, they should win some games against the Mets, but when the Braves come in here, they played the Reds last week in Cincinnati, they were a top team in the NL Central, so I don't get the sense that it's going to fully unravel. If these games were being played against teams around 500 or around the Rockies record, and you're losing five in a row and you're giving up big leads to teams like that, I would be much more concerned. But they're, you know, when you look at the Braves series and watch those games, they're just a better baseball team. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to be a Rockies fan and just look at the Braves and say, okay, that team is built a lot better than you are. They've got veterans. They've got good pitching staff. They've got a good bullpen. They've got everything. And they just came in here and kind of smacked you around for three games. And that's going to happen. But when I will get really concerned is when I start to see the Rockies losing games to teams that are more on their level, should we say, as of right now.
Spencer, so now I'm just so confused with all the postponing and the weather. It does this to my brain. So who's pitching? Who will be pitching tomorrow night then for the Rocks?
So I think they're just going to go with who's going to start today.
Okay.
And that'll be Michael Lorenzen tomorrow night. And then it depends on what they want to do on third. Like, I'm still not convinced they play a game tomorrow. And
yeah,
that's why they set the game for 1:10 on Thursday, obviously, so the teams could get away. But I would not be surprised to see a doubleheader on Thursday again. But now it looks like one of the apps I'm checking, it looks like they have Quintana scheduled for tomorrow at his normal day. And then maybe we'll go Lorenzen on Thursday. So it's Quintana had a great start against the Mets just, you know, 1 week ago. And he was cooking here at home against the Braves on Friday night before the bullpen unraveled that lead. So I'm not quite sure who they're going to start, but I believe it would be Quintana and Lorenzen the next two games whenever those end up being played.
Yes, and I'm kind of with you on that weather side of things. I'm wondering if we don't end up having that doubleheader on Thursday. Might make more sense.
Yeah, 2 days off would be good for Rockies fans and their mental health right now, I think.
Speaking of mental health, I'm still not out of control yet with the hair and the beard. The Dirty 30 goes on. We can't get to the halfway point. We're at 14 wins right now, Spencer. Are you still optimistic that we can get this thing done or close to done by the time we get, you know, a couple weeks into June?
Yes. Well, a couple weeks into June is the key there, because I was actually in prep for this call, was looking over the Rocky schedule and trying to figure out, you know, what I'm going to tell you, because I said June 1st, and 16 wins in the next 25 games before June 1st doesn't seem all that realistic. So I would target the series when they come home in mid-June. So it's the 19th. I know that's a little longer. They may sneak one out on the road against the Athletics or the Cubs in that mid 12th to 17th of June, but I will guarantee I'll record this. This is obviously on the radio. You'll be able to shave before that series against the Pirates and Red Sox. That 6-game homestand is over.
Okay, and we podcast this right after it's done too, so we're putting it out there.
This is a guarantee. I'm putting it down there.
A guarantee. So what date again would that be? That would be
the latest it would be June 24th. At home against the Red Sox, but I think they'll do it either the 19th, 20th, or 21st against the Pirates.
Okay, my goal this morning when we popped up, my birthday is June 17th. I was really hoping to get it done by that time, but you're telling me, hey, just a couple days after that, we'll be okay. That's fine. That's close enough.
Yeah, and I think they could do it before, I don't pick this team to win any games on the road, or very few of them, and they have a 6-game road trip to Las Vegas, and then the Chicago Cubs, who are a great baseball team right now, in that middle portion of June. And on your birthday, they play the Cubs one final time. Then they have an off day and then come home for six, and it will be done by those 6-game homestands.
Okay, that's still pretty optimistic for me. I like it. That's why you said, you know, it's so important. Let's get one, win the series against the Mets here, and we'd be less than half the journey to go. So these are important coming up. Depending on when they actually play them, they're important.
Yes, exactly. If they ever end up getting these games, started and finished at any point during this week, they will get you. I believe they'll get you to that halfway point, and if they can squeeze out two and get you to 16, I'd feel really good.
Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. What are you working on in the next couple of days, man, that we can check out, podcast, everything that you're putting out there? We want to know.
So we've got some player interviews here coming up. They are not fully confirmed, but we will have at least one to two players on our live podcast, whether that be next week, Monday or Friday at 12 p.m. live on YouTube, or you can catch us if you're listening to the whole show. You can catch our podcast or the YouTube showing of it anytime after the show is over. But we're looking at two potential players, and then also there is the potential for us to do a show. There's a new speakeasy that's opened at Coors Field.
Oh, cool.
That is pretty exclusive, and we are trying to get the final pieces in place to set up to be able to do one of our podcasts from that area, which would be really cool because they don't even let you take your phone out and record anything in that area. So that's what's coming up for us in the next couple of weeks.
That is actually awesome. Hey, I'm just throwing, if you need somebody else just to, for moral support, you know, run security, not that I could help, but just to stand there and look around, let me know. Give me a call.
I will. It's an amazing spot.
That's awesome,
dude. They took us there for media day, and they, you know, got us into the speakeasy and showed us the cocktails and what they make, and it's a membership essentially, so you can purchase a membership to it. Max of 50 people are allowed to purchase that membership, and then you can have any ticket you want, really. You could buy a rooftop ticket, and if you have that membership, you can spend all of the game in there. There's some food, there's obviously a high level cocktail menu, and max of 50 people can be in there at any point, and that's if every single person that has a membership is at that game. So it's a cool little area.
Do you know, like, with the membership, is that like a daily kind of thing where, hey, you buy your ticket and you can upgrade kind of deal? Or how does that work? How does, like, the membership portion work?
No, it's straight up like a golf course membership.
No kidding.
I believe it's $2,500 for the season, and then you get access to that place at any point in time. If you have a game ticket and are in Coors Field, you can go in there any game.
Wow, that's kind of cool. That's cool, man. I look forward to that.
It's a great setup.
Well, I look forward to you guys hopefully being there live and chatting about it too, man. We'll be looking out for that.
Yeah, Coors Field is obviously a great park, and they've added some really cool features to it and done a lot of work. You know, not the sexy work and things that people would actually get to see front-facing, but when we went to media day there and they talked to us about all the things they've done to Coors Field, they're really trying to, believe it or not, one of the oldest ballparks in the MLB at this point, trying to keep it up to standard.
I love it, man. That'll be interesting. I'm fascinated by that. Spencer, great work by you as always, my friend. And we look forward to catching up with you next week and maybe a little more of a positive conversation going forward.
Yes, we are going to have some ups and downs, some positive weeks, some negative weeks, but I think by next week, as long as they steal a couple against the Mets, and then, you know, maybe they have some get back against the Phillies, who are struggling, a good baseball team, but struggling over this weekend, maybe they can go into Philadelphia and do like they did last weekend or a couple weekends ago against the New York Mets and surprise us and win a few games. And then we're having a positive Tuesday talk before they hit Pittsburgh.
First things first, let's get to that halfway point. You know, we're right there, man. We're so close.
Lucky number 15, Hunter Goodman, is coming for you
here
tomorrow
we go.
Night, hopefully at 7:20.
I love it, man. Spencer, great work, man. We'll look to catch up with you next Tuesday.
Thanks so much, Brady. Have a good week.
All right, Spencer Smith. Follow him at BD Spence. So that's capital B, capital D, capital S, PENC. He is one of these solid Rockies guys. Actually, Tanner Schwinn, you know him. He's a diehard Rocky guy. And he discovered Spencer, so I've been watching his stuff for a while now and then thought to reach out to get him to be a guest here on the program. Glad we did. Great, great for the program. Enjoy catching up with Spencer, who knows his stuff when it comes to baseball, when it comes to Rockies baseball. 38 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.